This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education. After school, I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
I'm back from my holiday. Hey. Everyone, I'm so sorry. I didn't give any warning that we would have a week off.
No warning. You're like that, though. You just bugger off.
I know, it's true. Mm. It's so true. Anyway, listen, it was a lovely holiday, but we have some important stuff to get to today. We've had a very important inquiry about our last episode.
Oh, yes.
Last episode, we had a very special guest, Niles the cat, mm-hmm. aka your cat, yes. Niles. Yes. A lovely black and white cat. Yes. He's got little white paws. Little white paws, like little yes. white socks.
Yes.
They've simply asked, where do you get the name from, Niles?
No idea.
You don't know?
No.
Are you sure you don't know?
Well, I think
how
somebody just
it?
Said, N-I-L-E-S.
Yeah.
Somebody just said, what about Niles?
Who would have just said that?
No, there were two other cats called Kensington and Slightly, was it?
No, it was Brick.
Brick, that's right. Slightly was a different one.
What are these names, though?
Yeah. So Kensington and Brick, but they were Ginger.
Mm.
And Niles was black and white, and they used to beat him up.
They did bully him.
We did consider Lucifer for him because he used to go... He used to look sort of devilish.
And bare his teeth.
He used to bare his teeth and go, ah. But he had to because he used to just sort of stick his head into the food and inhale because they'd come and shove him out of the way and beat him up if he...
That makes sense as to why his appetite is so big now.
He's calmed down a bit lately. It's only taken
really?
12 years, yeah.
Yeah, of him eating everything in sight. I think some people might be interested, just before we actually get to the real questions of today, so we've got some great questions coming up, which again, you guys have sent in to us on our anonymous Google form, which you can find in the bio of this episode and our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Oh, formerly known as Twitter.
You were slightly late there, but that's fine.
I'm sorry, I'm always
slightly
late.
We've had a week off. And the reason I mention that now is, please do send us your questions on anything now. You can send us questions on anything you want. You know, I think
and your
now,
lunch pictures.
Yeah, we still want lunch pictures. You can send them to our Instagram, send them into our Twitter, all that sort of stuff. Just DM them to us.
Mm.
But I think people will be interested to hear the pantheon of pets that we've had. We have had cats.
We've had a few cats.
We've had snakes.
Snakes, couple of snakes.
Couple of snakes. What were their names?
Basil and Zorro.
Again, crazy. Mm-hmm. We've had African land snails.
Oh, yeah.
What were their names?
Brian.
That was correct.
And then they had other names. They were very nice. We had three.
Snakes, African land snails, cats.
Oh, then there was the sea monkeys, I suppose.
Sea monkeys. Oh, dear.
They're those prehistoric little things that float around that you buy in packets and activate them.
Yeah, they swim around a little like castle.
They live in a little castle, and there that was the trouble. Do you remember there was a friend round for who ought to have known better round for supper one night,
and this is very triggering.
What were we having, lasagna?
Yeah, it was
something like lasagna out of the oven. Put it on the worktop. She leans over, picks them up, and shakes them. And they went
the sea monkeys.
The sea monkeys shakes
and
the sea monkeys.
The
they go all over the lasagna.
Mm.
So I had to scrape off what I could, put it back in the oven to sort of sterilize it and serve it up. We didn't have anything else. I mean, you had to have it.
So this is my version of events. I am a little kid. It's either Christmas or my birthday. I am gifted life itself. I'm gifted little sea monkeys. We sprinkle them into their little, you know, lovely castle. I come in the kitchen every morning. I'll look at the windowsill and I'll look at these little monkey things swimming around this little lovely thing.
Oh, cute. Women.
Amazing. Mm. I'm then summoned downstairs and I think, oh, dinner. Lasagna tonight. Delicious. I'm told my pets are dead.
They weren't all dead.
They've been cast across the lasagna, which now I have to eat. I was sobbing my eyes out.
This is not true. None of it's true. I think they were my sea monkeys, actually.
They were my sea monkeys.
They were my sea monkeys because I think Dad had bought them for Mother's Day.
Why the fuck would he buy those for Mother's Day?
I don't know. He often bought me sea monkeys.
What the hell? Mm. Okay. So it's true, though, that I had to eat the lasagna, which has had sea monkeys
on. Oh, yeah. You had to eat the lasagna. Yeah.
I was... Tears. I cannot tell you how much crying.
It's not true.
I cried.
Gentle listener, this is not true. He was not crying. If anything, he was probably laughing.
You are just trying to make yourself not sound. This was evil. This was pure evil. However,
it wasn't me that did it. I was furious. I have to tell you. I was really furious.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Because it was totally unnecessary. One, don't pick up someone else's sea monkeys. And two, don't shake them over the lasagna. Let that be a life lesson.
Yeah.
Never shake sea monkeys over a lasagna.
And then quick 5 minutes back in the oven and then serve
it up. Well, yeah, because that sort of sterilised the top, you know.
Oh, Jesus. Well, anyway, I just remember going back, spooning in lasagna into my mouth.
This is not true.
That is true.
I'm sure he wasn't crying.
Why do you think, as soon as we went to the sea monkeys, my face dropped as I was, you know, overcome with trauma?
It didn't.
It did.
It didn't. It did not drop.
Guys, go on YouTube.
If anything, it lit up.
Yeah, because I know it's a good story. It's a good story, but not all good stories are good stories, you know?
I'm not sure it was lasagna anyway. It might have been fish pie.
Oh, well, it was fish pie after they were fucking done with it. Anyway, we've gone on for far too long talking about pets. Let's get to these questions, some actual real questions. But once again, guys, bio of this episode and our social media channels, you'll find that link to an anonymous Google form. Ask us any questions about, mostly about sex, relationships. Maybe we can expand that to, you know, we've talked about some stuff about shame, so anything counsellery. But also if you want to know about our pets,
dating,
please ask more questions. Yeah, all of that. But this one, I'm going to read that verbatim. I had a colleague the other day say, I love it when you read them out, the questions out verbatim. So I'm going to do exactly the same here. And this one says, hi, I love the podcast. Thanks. Bit of a long-winded question here for context. My partner and I have been together since we were 17 and now we are in our 20s. We still have sex a few times a week, but be used to every day. I have recently started a new job where I do shift work and I find that my sex drive is now a lot lower than it used to be. I'm frequently very tired after work and I am also now trying to balance further study. My partner has reassured me that he understands and doesn't mind if I'm not in the mood, but I still feel like he's getting in frustrated, which makes me feel more stressed. I've also found that when we do have sex now, it sometimes hurts. We used to have sex for periods of 15 to 30 minutes, sometimes a couple of times a day, which I enjoyed. But now it's becoming an issue with us because I start to feel sore. I've never had an issue with the duration previously, and I don't want my partner to feel like there is a problem. We have tried using lube and taking breaks to do other things, but I find that I just get upset when we need to stop entirely. Have you had clients that are shift workers in the past, and is this just an inevitable consequence of that type of work? Do you have any tips on how we can make the new difference in sex drives work? Thank you, smiley face, straight woman 22.
So, have you had clients that are shift workers in the past? Yes. Is this just an inevitable consequence of that type of work? No.
Mm.
Do you have any tips on how we can make the new difference in sex drives work? Actually, is this actually a difference in sex drives?
Mm.
Or is it just the relationship being a bit longer? You know, the honeymoon period wearing off so that you're not all over each other all the time. We've said many times after about 3 years at the most, the hormones that keep you wanting to have sex all the time do wear off. And so people often perceive this as a drop in sex drive, when actually it's just a normal consequence of the relationship being settled, you know, more committed. Mm. So it's interesting that you say that your partner has reassured you and understands, but you still feel like he's getting frustrated. So if he's not doing anything that makes him seem frustrated, why do you think he is? Why do you think he's not just as comfortable with it all as you are?
Yeah.
If sex is hurting, you need to take action. It shouldn't be hurting. 15 to 30 minutes is a long time to go at it, to be honest with you.
Wow.
And I'm not surprised you're getting sore. I like the idea of taking breaks to do other things. So we'll just go and make a Lego building and then we'll come back to this. All right. Or
we'll just
cook steak and chips or do a jigsaw or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, it's absolutely to do other things, other sexual things, you mean. Quite right. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
But you just get upset and we need to stop entirely. You know, why are you getting upset? Because most people have a little bit of intercourse, take a break, have a little bit of intercourse. If they want to make the session last longer, they'll often do that and stop and do something different and maybe just cuddle or, you know, or literally do something actually different for a little while and then come back to it. I mean, that's not unusual at all.
Mm.
If you're tired, you're tired. That's normal. It's human. I think this is about finding the new normal for you two. Because you've been in the relationship for a while. I mean, if you've been together since you were 17, you've definitely outrun the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
And it's normal to feel disappointed when the honeymoon period wears off. People generally do. They think things like, oh, this is not quite what I signed up for. That's normal. I mean, you shouldn't feel bad about this. I mean, I would get checked out, go and make sure you don't have an infection or something that's causing the pain. And just experiment with different things. This all sounds absolutely normal.
Mm. I mean, if they're still having sex a couple of times a week,
what's wrong with that?
That sounds pretty good. But otherwise, I mean, is there, sometimes we talked on this podcast about scheduling, not necessarily sex, but time just between you
to
two.
To be intimate, probably sound, yeah.
To be intimate. I mean, maybe there's a world in which you do that. But it sounds like the frequency of sex doesn't sound to me like that's an issue for me. If you want more, then you've got to schedule more time for intimate time, not necessarily sex, but just got to put more time in the diary for it.
It sounds like they're putting too much pressure on themselves. And really, it's much more about doing what's possible. And I keep on saying, you know, if you're living together, not sure are they living together, but if you're seeing a lot of one another and spending a lot of time together, you know, sex is available whenever you want it. So there isn't the combination of the hormones of the honeymoon period and that sense of this is a new relationship and we want as much time together as we can get that you have early on, when probably lots of sex is more comfortable and being sexual a lot more is just more doable because it's novel and stuff. And whereas when you're living together or when you're seeing a lot of one another and you're working and you've got loads of other things to do, it's probably not so much of a priority. The fact that your libido appears to have dropped, I mean, it suggests you're beyond the honeymoon period. So it's not your libido. It's more that you are more committed. And, you know, nature isn't giving you that incentive to keep having sex, to try and make you bond, to try and make one another more attractive. It's giving you the real deal now. And that shows that the relationship's got legs. It's lasted. It's doing well. And you shouldn't be taking all the responsibility if it's not perfect. Anyway, you talk about it and do something about it together. If all else fails, there's always sex therapy, as you know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, let's have another one. This one says, hello, Kate and Diggs. Ever since my first sexual encounters by myself and with partners, I have just not really felt any stimulation. I have familiarized myself with female anatomy and really examined mine quite deeply, but I struggle to find my clitoris. I just cannot see it. Even during oral stimulation, I feel nothing. I've tried everything, and this is now starting to take a huge toll on my sex life. I do not masturbate, and in turn have never orgasmed, and I feel like I have to pretend. I'm beginning to wonder if I even have a clit at all, and have been researching clitoral atrophy. Please help me. Should I see a doctor? Woman, 19, queer.
It sounds like seeing a doctor might help to reassure you because they might be able to point out your clitoris. And if it's a small clitoris, which it might be, you know, it might be harder to find, if you like. But one of the problems with school books and textbooks in the UK is they quite often have pictures of the vulva without a clitoris. So often people might not really have an idea of what it looks like. And I mean, you know, if you're having sex with other women, then I would guess that you would get some help to find your clitoris, and, you know, you wouldn't be so unsure.
But this is what I'm worried about, is that, like, so for example, I know you just said about school textbooks and stuff don't show where the clitoris is and stuff, but I've just typed in on Google, which I think most people would do, where is the clitoris? And there's some pretty decent ish photos of where it could be, and this person says they're woman 19 queer, so you might imagine they maybe have had some sexual experience with other women, and if they have, that's the worry. You know, it sounds like they've had, they're starting to take a toll on their sex life. I'm sort of thinking, you know, maybe they don't have a fucking clitoris, okay? I'm sorry to side with them, but you know what I mean? Or maybe there's a world in which they do have one, but it's either
But
maybe there's something going on with where there's no sensitivity, or it's so
right.
small.
If they're having oral sex with somebody, I think the person they're having oral sex with would go, "Bugger me, you've got no clit," or something like that. When they had a look,
I honestly wouldn't.
I think I would.
No, but this is the thing. I get that. I do think there's some people though that would just go, "Well, maybe this is another body, and I don't know what I'm talking about," so I won't say anything. Or I wouldn't even realise. You sort of, you look in that general area,
I think,
and you don't
really
think about it. And you're looking up and you're going, they're not really enjoying themselves.
I mean, I think potentially maybe this woman 19 queer has not had enough stimulation of the rest of their body before they attempt to get into genital sex.
That's a good point. Because that will enlarge the clitoris and engorge blood in the area and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
So that's a good idea.
And you know, be aroused already. I mean, I never think it's a great plan to go straight for the genitals. You should, you know, always warm up, just like you do when you exercise.
Yeah, good point. I've just got into stretching. It's huge.
And when people say, "I've tried everything," they've generally done the same thing over and over. That's the same. You don't masturbate. If you don't masturbate, you can't know your own body. So it's very difficult to then help your partner to arouse you. You really do have a responsibility to get to know your own body, I think.
That's a good point. I didn't really focus too hard on the "I do not masturbate" part. I may have assumed that was because they didn't get any stimulation. But now it's making me think that you're right. That's an issue here.
I have to say that lots of people get sex therapy with this kind of a story. This is not an uncommon story. The thing is, loads and loads and loads of people manage to close down their sexual response because they have guilt about sex, or something's happened to them in the past which is getting in the way. There are all sorts of reasons why people don't respond sexually. It's very rarely, unless you've had surgery of some kind.
I was going to say,
yeah.
FGM,
I mean,
for example.
If that's the case, that's different.
FGM, female genital mutilation, which we've got an episode on. Would that maybe lead to this sort of thing?
Well, if they've had FGM, they might have the upper part of the vulva sewn up so that they wouldn't be able to get at the clitoris. Even if it was there, and it might not be. But that's the outer part of the clitoris, the external clitoris, which isn't there. And people who've had FGM can still orgasm, and they do still have the internal clitoris. So they can, But it doesn't sound like that's the case, because they're managing to have oral sex. Doesn't sound like anybody's mentioned anything unusual. Either that we don't have the whole story here, which I suspect, or this is someone who's just, who again isn't telling the full story, or isn't aware of the full story, and is closing down their sexual response.
And I do think, I know we've given lots of answers here, but I do think, you know, you've sort of written it out. Should I see a doctor? Maybe, because
just for reassurance.
If it is FGM, a doctor will be able to tell you. If no one's told you before, you haven't noticed yourself because it's just how you've grown up. And if it isn't, then you probably almost certainly will have a clitoris, and they'll go, "Yeah, you've got one." And then you can go, "Okay, right. Well, let's get back to their other things."
Good luck. Let us know how you get on, and send us a picture of your lunch.
Yes, exactly. Keep the lunches coming in. All right. We will get to one more question after the break.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to the Real Sex Education After School. Mum and I are having such a good time. We're really enjoying ourselves. And we've got just woohoo. One more question for you. It's really... Don't say woohoo. We're so sad that we've only got one question left for today because we're loving it
no,
so
I mean,
much.
No, woohoo, because okay, I was excited about it.
Oh, of course. No, but I mean, I just want the questions to keep coming.
Keep them coming,
I
guys.
I want to stave off this question as long as possible. Okay, here we go. Hi, I don't know if this is a question or advisory. A year ago, I became a sperm donor, but I'm struggling with it all. I find it really hard to start an erection, but also to climax into a small dish. My friend suggested Viagra, but nothing turns me on when I'm in the sexual clinic. The sexual clinics provide grubby magazines and videos, but I struggle to get myself in the mood to these things. I try and imagine false scenarios, hoping to climax, but instead I'm too nervous being in a clinical environment. Do I have a low sex drive? What can I do to reduce my nerves whilst being in the clinic? Straight male, 28, from London.
I'm just wondering why you need to be a sperm donor. Because it doesn't sound as though you're enjoying it.
Do you get paid for being a sperm
Not
donor?
Not in the UK. I wonder where they come from. It's from London.
That's kind of my response to it. It's like, unless this is your fucking job and you're going to die if you don't do it.
Well, I tried to get you to do it, didn't I? And you wouldn't. You refused.
Did you?
I kept on saying, wouldn't you like to be a sperm donor? Look, I've seen a link here. And things like that.
Why,
I thought,
really?
Is there any way I'm going to get any grandchildren? So,
not that we know about.
Well, no, I know. But one day they might, you know, sort of find us.
Find us. Like this is some sort of joint venture.
And then the family. Find the family.
Oh,
know.
Right.
Yeah.
But is there not... So someone told me about this, where there's sort of a thing where if they get to the age of 18 and they come looking for their actual sperm dad, you can tick a box to say, yeah, go on, then they can find me. Or you can tick a box to say, no, they're not allowed.
I thought they were allowed.
What, they were allowed regardless?
I think these days, I think the law's changed and they are allowed. Because they might want to know things like about... I mean, you can tick a box to say, don't bother, I'll slam the door in your face. I think you can do that. But I think legally you're allowed to look, to find out. But it also reminded me that I recently did that thing where you find out your origins. Your genetic profile, right?
Yes. And so you sent off some of your DNA. They looked in the lab. They've come back and they said, you
are... Exactly. 17% UK.
Wow. Wait, UK? So it's not even England, it's UK.
Mm. Only 17% of me comes from the UK.
Where? Okay. Well, what else?
Then the vast majority, German.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
No,
any more?
Other bits of Europe. But basically, German.
Yeah.
More than 50%.
Wow, okay.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Cool. And since then, I've been getting all these sort of messages for all these bloody people in Germany. Oh, your third cousin once removed is Klaus. and then you know, and loads of people wow. in the States and New Zealand coming through that I'm yeah. related to. Loads of them. And yeah, wow. Who knew? No wonder I like sausage.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Well, so what you're saying is that's what this guy can expect if he... Well, he can't expect that because he can't bloody
well
do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be... This is an aside, obviously, but... straight male 28. The thing is, I'm thinking there are some things in here which we need to address. One is your friend suggested Viagra. Viagra only works if you're aroused and there's a physical mm-hmm. problem, so that won't help. What you say is the sexual clinics provide grubby magazines. You call them grubby magazines.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's significant. So it doesn't sound as though you appreciate erotica or porn. Mm.
Yeah, calling it grubby sort of...
It doesn't sound as if you're completely comfortable with this. Struggle to get yourself in the mood. I'm not surprised. I once had an experience where I was in a gynae clinic. This is going back a bit. Mm. I was in a gynae clinic. And in this gynae clinic, this is where they saw people with fertility issues. And there were also women who were pregnant and were having scans and things. So they made them drink a ton of water and then they'd go and have their scan and then they were only allowed to wee afterwards. Well, they were all queuing up and hammering on the door of the one loo, which was occupied by a man with a grubby magazine, trying to produce a specimen.
Oh, my word.
It was the most awful thing ever.
Oh,
the poor
no.
guy had to come out, walk through all these women holding his little specimen.
Oh,
it was terrible. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
And you wonder why you sent me those links and I was like, maybe not.
I think things are it's much better now. It's
yeah, I'm sure things have changed now. Yeah,
in the olden days, it was terrible.
But I mean, quite simply for me, it's not life or death, this one. Just don't do it.
I would say don't do it. I try and imagine...
It's not a sexual situation,
no.
And all you're going to do is do what you've done now, which is go, I can't get hard. Oh no, that's so bad. Do I have a bad sex drive? It's like, no, you're not having sex. You're in a room trying to wank into a Petri dish. That there's no problem with that at all. You should maybe you should be messaging in if it's with other people. But this feels like you can chill
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
It's not like giving blood. It's not like it's your duty to go and give sperm. And it's not like you're getting paid for it. You can absolutely just be like, you know what? These quote-unquote grubby magazines, this clinical environment, this Petri dish isn't getting me randy, so I might not do it.
And when he says I struggle to get myself in the mood, I mean the mood. I mean...
I don't know. That feels very unclinical,
I mean, I just wonder what the attraction is. Is the idea, oh my goodness, in the future, hundreds of children are going to turn up and they'll all be mine, you know?
But I don't want to turn people off giving sperm because some people might think, you know what, I'm giving people...
The gift of life.
The absolutely. Gift of life, and you know, and there will be couples out there who can't do this, that, or the other, and they want to have a child, and you are giving them that gift. That's amazing. He's young, he's straight, he's male, he's 28, he's got the sperm, he just can't get it out, and that is fine. As someone else, dude, will pick up the pace. Someone else.
What
will pick
what
up.
Has him being straight got to do with it?
I don't know. I just sort of said it. I just sort of was looking at what his thing is.
It's okay. Irrelevant.
Well, hang on. He's young. He's London. He's 28. how's that?
Bingo.
Yeah, that's much more like it. It's sort of like someone else will pick up the pace. If you feel that duty, please don't feel the duty. But yeah, just chill out, I think. Great. Okay, brilliant. Well, I thought maybe Mum would go, absolutely, or spot on.
Sorry,
or...
I got the impression you wanted the final word.
Oh, well, I often do, but, you know, and I will get the final word because you'll say, absolutely, Diggs, well done. You're such a good son. And I go, thanks, Mum. Hi, everyone. You can subscribe to listen to more podcasts, blah, 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 which is what I usually do. And what I will do after you've said...
Oh, you're a lovely son.
Thanks so much, Mum. And thank you, everyone, so much for listening. You can follow the Real Sex Education podcast wherever you're listening or watching this now. Make sure you subscribe, you follow, so you don't miss when we produce another episode, if we can get in the mood for it, that is. Next time, make sure you're following, make sure you're subscribing, and we'll see you there.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Oh, she's getting the last word. Bye. No, bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Love
bye.
You.
Bye. You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.